Hallelujah. Welcome back, everyone, to the message portion of our service. We are continuing in the book of James. We're going to go to James chapter 1. We actually completed this series, but a few of our recordings were damaged, so we're just reteaching this again. And so here we go. James chapter 1, on our website, we do have the first portion of this, which goes from about verse 1 through 5. But we're going to pick up in verse 6 is where we're going to get to. But since we're right at the beginning of this chapter, we're going to go ahead and just read it and give us a running start into this. Amen? So it says in James chapter 1, verse 2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So here's what you're going to pick up from today. Verse 6 says, "But let him ask in faith." This is really big, really big. "Without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed in the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." That's a pretty bold statement to make about someone. The foundation of everything we do as believers is done in faith. It needs to be done in faith. You know, you receive the Lord how? By faith. Unless he appeared to you and you talked to him and received him that way. I'm just saying. We receive it by faith. So we don't operate in doubt. We don't even operate in hope, but we operate in faith. So what does it mean to be double-minded? That's real important to know what it means and to clear yourself of being double-minded. So in context with the scripture, he's referring to asking the Lord for something, but not doing it in faith. In order to ask the Lord for something, you need to believe that he exists, correct? So that's step number one. So if you believe he exists and he is there to hear and answer your requests, then you must have faith that he'll answer them. Yes? If you ask something according to his will, but do not believe he will answer, then you're double-minded. That's the basic definition of it. So your mind is not one. Your mind is not unified. It's two. It's double. On one hand, you ask, but on the other hand, you don't have the faith that your requests will be brought to pass by the Lord. In your mind, both of these things are bouncing around. What you've asked of the Lord, but you don't believe he's going to answer. Double-mindedness. Double-mindedness leads to a lack of peace. He says here, double-mindedness leads to instability in all your ways. So let's spend some time talking about biblical faith. Amen? I want you to turn with me. Keep your place there. Actually, you can turn with me from there because we're not going to come back to that spot. Turn me to the book of Hebrews, the book to the Messianic Jews, chapter 11, verse 1. I'll give you guys a second to get there. Hebrews 11, verse 1. This chapter is often called the Faith Hall of Fame. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Praise your Lord. It's good. And it's interesting because the people who teach this as the Faith Hall of Fame, it's one of the few times that they really dwell on anything from the Old Testament, which is a praise to them. So verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of realities not seen. For by it the elders received commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen did not come from anything visible. So what is now visible, by faith we recognize that it came from something invisible. What we see that now exists came from a place of non-existence by the power of Adonai." That makes sense? Hallelujah, because it was created by him. Verse 4 says, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. Through faith, he was commended as righteous when God approved his gifts. And through faith, he still speaks, although he is dead." Faith is supernatural. Because of the righteous offering of Abel, he's still being talked about today. By that, he still speaks today. Verse 5 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken so as not to see death. And he was not found because God took him. For before he was taken, he was commended as pleasing God." He was faithful, full of faith, so much so that he didn't even have to die. But it says Adonai took him. Hallelujah. We're seeing a pattern here. And we'll see more as we continue, but I want to say this to you. Faith is what causes the things that you hope for to be requested of Adonai. Because you have some faith to even believe, you have faith to believe that God exists, and you have enough faith to ask him for something that you're hoping for. Does that make sense? So there's a connection between what you hope for, then ask Adonai for, and its final manifestation. This is faith, believing that Adonai is going to do or is meeting your request that is according to your will that you've asked him about. Lord, I ask you to do this. I have faith you're going to do it. So what's double-mindedness? Lord, I ask you for this, but I don't know if I have faith if you're going to do it or not. So this is what James is telling his people. Don't be double-minded. If you ask God for something, believe, trust, and that's it. And then wait. Do your part. So many people sit around waiting, and they never do anything. These are extremes, okay? I love extremes because you can always gauge where you are. So they say things, ask God things, they never do anything. They ask God for a spouse, but they never go outside of their house. They ask God for money, but they don't work. They ask God for a meal when there's food in the refrigerator. These are real simple. They make you laugh. It sounds ridiculous, but believe me, Mr. and Mrs. Ridiculous are out there. And you'll come across them one day if you haven't already. And it's sad because people don't realize it. And James, Yaakov, he recognized. People need to hear this. They're not realizing it. The Lord recognizes people need to hear it, or else he wouldn't have had it put in Scripture. Hallelujah. When James wrote this, he didn't write it specifically to us, but we're here, we get to benefit from it. But this is something that's been going on for thousands of years. This is kind of human nature 101 if you don't know and if you don't exercise your faith appropriately. Amen? Let me reread this here because I only read part of it. Faith is what causes the things that you hope for to be requested of Adonai. There's a connection between what you hope for then ask Adonai for, and its final manifestation, they're connected. This is faith, believing that Adonai is going to do or is meeting your request that is according to your will that you've asked him. As long as it's according to his will, it's in line with his will, obviously. I probably ought to throw that out there because you have people asking for things that aren't his will, and then you run into a problem. But we're supposed to do this all while staying faithful and thanking him for bringing the request to pass. So how do you know if it's his will or not? Follow your spirit, which is connected to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How can you follow the Spirit if you're not hearing? See? All this stuff's connected. So we need to hear. We need to have an ear to hear. How do we have an ear to hear? Make yourself available to God to listen, to ask, to get the Lord's blessing and what he has to say about something before you move forward with it. Amen? If you're not at peace, but your request is still a righteous request, keep moving forward as long as you have peace. If you have peace to do something, move forward with it. The Lord will stop you. You know, I've heard the analogy of someone sitting in a parking lot saying, Lord, you know, get me to the other side of town, but they're in their car and they don't drive. He's like, well, drive. Yeah, but I don't know how to get there. No, but you start driving and I give you directions. Yeah, but I want to go over there. Start driving. Well, no, but I don't know how to get there. And they stay in a loop and they never do anything. Lord, I'm believing for this or that. And they never do anything. And sometimes it's scary to start the car and put your foot on the gas and drive off into the unknown, trusting the Lord. Hallelujah. But as long as you have peace, continue to move forward accordingly. It's interesting, when I was preparing this, you know, we were at peace to start looking for a place to meet. And among other things we were doing at the time. And so standing here and looking from here, I'm still in just I don't want to say disbelief. See, that's wrong, see? I'm in faith and appreciation. See how easy it is to... But I'm in faith and appreciation of what the Lord has done. And it's amazing when you see the Lord do something and you know he did it. It's absolutely amazing. And so we looked at many places all over town. You know, some of you send us texts, hey, this is open over here, this is open over here. We went to another congregation who potentially, or actually two, were going to offer us somewhere to meet. But they weren't right. They weren't it. When we were called by the broker concerning this location, the very second they called, when they called, how they, everything about it, I said, oh my gosh, okay, Lord, this is you. And so we went with it. And we could see the Lord's hands all over it the whole time. Then we went to see other places and we knew as soon as we got there, this isn't it. What, could they have worked? Yeah, you know, but it wasn't it. We had a supernatural peace that surpassed all understanding. And we proceeded, and here we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I'm not saying that to spotlight us. However, here's the other side of it. We have peace to find a place to meet, and we do absolutely nothing. And so every week you guys come in, okay, did we find a place? Where we? Oh, well, you know, we're believing, we're waiting, and we're just doing absolutely nothing. This is real stuff. This is life. Anything that the Lord is dealing with you with, where you've asked him for something, you have a hope, you have a dream, an aspiration that's godly, you need to put some steps to it. If you don't, it's going to stay just like that. Never going to grow. Everything starts out as a seed. It starts off at an infant stage and grows. And that's a holy way for things to grow. That's how the Lord intended things to be. Hallelujah. you know, our place today, where we are today as a congregation, we're a seed and we're growing. And we're bearing fruit within us. But there's coming a day we're going to bear even greater fruit. But only if we do what? Take the steps, continue to move forward. Continue to do week by week the things that the Lord has called us to do, individually and as a community. Amen? Hallelujah. Things that are on your heart that you've been hoping for and praying for, take some action. If you know you need someone else involved, someone to agree with you, we're always here to agree with you to move forward in the Lord. Amen? There are things that sometimes you come up against a brick wall and it's hard to, you know, move forward. But the Lord hasn't left you there. That's temporary. Look up to the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. I hope I'm speaking to someone. There's a lot of people who are watching online. And, you know, these are the things that, these are real life issues every day that James was dealing with. Praise you, Father. So back to what I was saying here, and I'm going to get back to the scripture here, but so we move with faith according to the Lord's will, and he answered. And as he continues to grow us gradually and healthily, we're at peace. Hallelujah. On the other hand, what if I would have said, no, we only want a multi-million dollar facility? Okay, so then what? So now you have the other problem that people run into. You have a, you're used to living on lead, but now you're asking for gold. And so you're wanting the Lord to do something so drastic, and it sounds really good, you know, to come up with a bunch of money. But money ruins people. Too much of whatever it is at one time will ruin you. A glass of water at the water fountain is wonderful. A tidal wave coming at you is not. You see what I'm saying? And we've had to learn over the years, you know, Stacy and I, we've been serving together in ministry for coming up on 30 years. Crazy. And time goes just like that. And so, but what I've learned how people have done some things that have been successful, and I've seen things and said, no, there's no way. I wanted to do things a certain way and said, no, 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 no. You do it like that, you're going to end up with all kinds of problems. Yeah, but that would be fast. That would get from point A to point Z like really quick. Yeah, but it'd also leave a whole trail of destruction. We need to learn to go A to B to C, maybe to D, then maybe skip to H. But the Lord does this, these things peacefully. How many of you like going to bed at night, laying your head in the bed, and going to sleep? Yeah. Peace. $1 million won't buy it. The more stuff you have, the more money you have, the more problems you have. More money, more problems. You ever heard that? Yeah. But that's, does that mean the Lord doesn't want you to have anything? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you got to be careful with how he's saying to do it. Hallelujah. So we need to be sober-minded when we ask the Lord. He'll not bless you with something you can't handle that would destroy you. He wouldn't be a good father doing that. You know, I wouldn't be a good father buying a Ferrari for one of my kids who just learned how to drive. Either of them. In particular, one of them. Hallelujah. No, he won't do that. No matter how much they begged and pleaded, and I had the ability at the time to do it. I mean, we have to be sober-minded in these things. Amen. So, lost my spot here. So, everybody pretty clear on that? We're going to keep moving on, but if you have questions, come talk to us. We're always available to talk. So this faith, so this is faith that's not optional in our lives. It's mandatory. So I want to continue in Hebrews chapter 6, and we're just going to read through this. We're going to read about people who the Lord saw their faith. Not only did he see their faith and how they exercised it, but he's going to show examples of what they did, how they did it. But the Lord decided to canonize all this. He decided to have Yaakov write these things down and deliver them out as a letter after they had been around and known by the Jewish people for thousands of years. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, now without faith it is impossible, somebody say impossible, to please God, for the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We need to remind ourselves to be faithful or full of faith. Amen. By faith, Noah, when he warned about events not yet seen, in holy fear prepared an ark for the safety of his household. Through faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9, by faith, he migrated to the land of promise as if it were foreign, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Thousands of years ago, before much of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, way before the Brit Hadashah was ever written, here you have Abraham by faith. Goes all the way from the Persian Gulf area all the way to Israel, living in a tent, not knowing where he's going. And what's he waiting for? He's waiting for something we still haven't seen. He's waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He's waiting ultimately for the New Jerusalem. By faith, thousands of years ago, something he would never live to see, but his descendants would. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll see him there one day, I hope. We'll meet him, that'd be awesome. Verse 11 says, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive when she was barren and past the age, since she considered the one who had made the promise to be what? Faithful. Faith. He was full of faith. So from one, and him as good as dead, were fathered offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as uncountable as the sand on the seashore. That's us. These all died in faith without receiving the things promised. See, that's the key. This is a whole nother level. They died before the things that were promised. They never even got to see him. But they died in faith. They died still believing the Lord to provide those things that they asked for, or the things that he told them he was going to bless them with. But they saw them and welcomed them from afar, and they confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. Verse 14 says, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If indeed they had been thinking about where they had come from, they would have had opportunity to return. So here he is, he's there again. He gets out there, and these promises from the Lord didn't come immediately. They didn't come at all. And he could have gone right back to where he came from. Hallelujah. When he came from, just a little tidbit here, when he came from the Persian Gulf area, he came by one of the major trading routes that runs from the east and comes through, goes through Jerusalem. From there, it splits off, goes towards Africa, goes north into Africa, I mean into Europe rather, and south into Africa. So this was a main road, if you will, that he could have said, you know what, I've had enough of this program, I'm going back where I came from, and turned right back around and went back, but he didn't. And it says if indeed he had been thinking about where they had come from, they would have had the opportunity to return. He wasn't even thinking about it. He was doing what the Lord told him to do by faith, and that was it. He wasn't going back. There was no return. Verse 16 says, but as it is, they yearn for a better land, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Yes, he who had received the promises was offering up his one and only son. Oh, another level of faith and trust in the Lord. Verse 18 says, the one about whom it was said, through Isaac, offspring shall be named for you. He reasoned that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. And in a sense, he did receive him back. He did receive him back from there. So the Lord didn't raise him up from the dead. He didn't have to. He provided for him that he would never have to be sacrificed. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he bowed in worship while leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, made mention of the exodus of Bnei Israel and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, he prepared a place not just to be buried, but for a year later when they came back to take his bones and put them in a permanent location. He made a plan for that by faith. By faith. They didn't even know where they were going. They'd never even been there. They were in a foreign land. Verse 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was an extraordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's decree. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he chose to suffer mistreatment along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He was considered the disgrace of Messiah as greater riches. I'm sorry, he considered the disgrace of Messiah as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to the reward. So he wasn't stuck in the here and now. He was looking into the future, into the end. It says of Yeshua, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know, for the joy set before us, we endure the things that we're going through and things that we will go through. Hallelujah. Yeshua gave a message. And in one message, it says, I think it was 5,000 people left. So here he is standing with the Talmudim, the disciples. And to paraphrase, he said, okay, were you guys going to leave too? And he said, no. I believe it was Peter or John. I think it was Peter. Said, no. Where would we go? For you have the words of life. We're not going to follow this big crowd who got offended and just left. Where are we going to go? Where are they going to go? And I guarantee you that many of them came back. If we're not going to live by faith and trust the Lord, are we going to live in doubt? Not trust the Lord? Where are you going to go? Going to bed at night, you're praying about something that's on your mind, you're going to pray in doubt? Well, Lord, I'm going to pray and just doubt that you even hear this. No, of course not. Hallelujah. We're together. we're together in agreement for everyone here to continue to move forward. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 27 says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, for he persevered as if seeing the one who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the smearing of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as if on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried it, they were swallowed up. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were circled for 7 days. By faith Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she welcomed the spies with shalom. There's a head scratcher right there for you. So here it is, a prostitute is saved, and the other ones were called disobedient. The goodness of the Lord, amen. Verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me if I tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. By faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and made foreign armies flee. That's a lot. By faith. Hallelujah. So in closing, I just want to say this. Having faith in Adonai will cost you. I don't want to say it may cost you things in this world. I'm just going to tell you it will cost you. But you will gain things by faith in the Lord that the world can't provide you. Hallelujah. This is something that I said earlier, but I want to reiterate it. When you lie your head down on your pillow at night, peace in Adonai through faith in him will give you the rest that no money can buy and that no pill can provide. Hallelujah. Faithfulness to Adonai is being full of his faith. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and we worship you. We thank you for the word that we have just heard. But Father, you haven't called us to be hearers only. You've called us to be doers, Lord. So those things that you're dealing with each of us right now, we just thank you that we would take heed, Lord, and turn to you, Father. As in the Torah portion, Ekev, Father, that we will grab hold of its heel. We will grab hold of this, lay hold of it, Father, and move forward in you by faith, Lord. Fully expecting you, Lord, to grant the requests according to your will, Lord, that we have brought to you. And Father, as a congregation, we thank you. By faith, we have come this far. By faith, we will continue, and we will not stop, Father. We'll go as far and as long as you tell us to go and equip us and empower us to go, O God. So we worship you, we praise you for this word that we've heard, Lord. May it bear fruit, Lord, with those who have heard it, Lord, and may we all take heed and continue to move forward in you, in Yeshua's mighty name, Father. Amen. And to those of you watching on Facebook, thank you for watching. We'll see you next week. You can also go to our website, www.emekelohim.org, and listen to other messages we have there. Until next week, Shavua Tov.